Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
It's the pee stain and the pee brain, and we're here. It is the finals of the Death Dealers Invitational.
We should put that on a shirt, man.
Oh, yeah.
That'd sell.
Oh, yeah.
Your face, like, on the front of, like, some whitey tighties. Just like, hey, buddy. In yellow.
But this is the finals of the Death Dealers Invitational. There was a bit of a delay before you got the semifinals. That was episode 11 or 12, I believe. But it's out there. And so here we have the finals, and we're in Boston, and we got a great card. Mm-hmm. The night before, we were in Atlanta. So let's start off, Mark. We've got Jack and Jerry Briscoe versus Jay and Mark Briscoe.
Yeah, man.
No relation.
No relation. Great match, though, I think.
I do.
Love to see that, those two styles against one another. And I would have to give the nod to the original Briscoes in that match.
Yes. Yes. I think you've got I mean, obviously, Jack and Jerry's credentials speak for themselves, obviously, in my professional opinion.
So it's your opinion that you know, Jack Briscoe, he's probably going to go down as one of the legit guys.
I think that when they turned heel in the early 80s and they did that deal with Steamboat and Youngblood, who are also on this card, that to me was just like a thing of beauty.
It really was. And when I hear Steamboat and Youngblood, I always think of my good friend Bruce Mitchell, who says that, that as far as he's concerned, Steamboat and Youngblood, the best pure babyface tag team he ever watched live. You know, so that's saying a lot.
But Jack.
Not very many people whose opinion I trust.
Right.
But Bruce Mitchell is one of them.
And me being the other. But Jack and Jerry have obviously.
I don't know about that.
The
I love you, but sometimes your opinions about wrestling, not that you don't have great opinions about stuff, but sometimes you will get caught up in the hype.
I will. No, you're absolutely right.
Everybody says this is great, so it's great. Sometimes you are guilty of that.
Sometimes. Would you say that there's been times that I've been a little hyperbolic?
Sometimes. We will have fast food for lunch, and you'll claim it's the best meal you've had in months.
Are we having fast food for lunch?
I hope not, but you never know what we're going to do.
Anyway, the thought I've been trying to finish
is, like, at some point, I know, like, talking about getting caught up in the hype, we have to talk about, what's his name? The UK match that happened at the NXT Revival, two guys.
Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate.
Yeah, I kind of want to talk about that at some point.
Okay, yeah. No, have you watched the match?
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
Until I fell asleep.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Sometimes you have a tendency to get caught up in the hype, and I have a tendency to prejudge it based on the hype.
No, that's right. That's right. And I don't Well, let's talk about that later.
Okay. Because there's another match that didn't get quite the praise, but it did get praise from the kind of, like, from guys like Bruce Mitchell that I watched that I thought was 1,000 times better.
Gotcha. What I've been trying to say for the last 10 minutes is Jack and Jerry Briscoe, the obvious amateur background, the obvious technical skill, but showed in that feud with Steamboat Youngblood, the mean side, the brawling side. I think the same. Obviously, Jay and Mark Briscoe don't have that amateur background, but have shown they've got the technical. But then I think this could break down in a brawl. Great match.
Oh, absolutely. I think you get those two sides, the amateur wrestling and the brawling style. And Jay Briscoe is one of the few guys I look at in Ring of Honor and say he could have been
yes
a huge star.
Yeah.
He has a presence about him.
Yes, he does.
He is bigger than a lot of the other guys. He looks like he could win a fight.
Yes.
To me, that's a big deal.
And has probably been in a fight.
Probably has won.
Yeah.
Several fights.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Jay and Mark Briscoe. I think they're great.
But you've got Jack and Jerry going over.
Absolutely. And you'll see that as we go down the list.
So our second match is we're doing a best of three series. So match number one was the prior weekend, and it's the Revival versus the Brain Busters. The night before in Atlanta, capacity crowd came to possibly see what could have been the Brain Busters' last match had they lost.
Mm-hmm.
But now we've got the deciding match in this best of three series. Mark, how's it run down for you?
Was our stipulation if the brain, like the Brain Busters?
No, that wasn't the stipulation, but as they're perhaps a little bit older or whatever, crowd is there. Man, you know, we're seeing history.
I got you. That's a tough call, man, because I generally have to go with the old school guys.
Correct.
When it comes to a win, but I'd kind of like to see somebody pick a win up that nobody expects.
Right.
And I got to think that in this, the Revival is playing the role of the heel.
Yes.
Because now the Brain Busters have been around a long time. Anytime somebody's – you can always count on this, man. If somebody's been around a long time and they got any credibility and they're over to any extent, eventually they can't not be over.
Right.
They'll always be over. That's why – when these guys come back, they get such huge ovations. Because once you're over, that's why Harley Race still gets a pop when he comes out. Because once you're over, that's why Flair still gets a
once
pop.
Once you're over, you're
once
over.
Once you're over, you're over, man. And Hogan, is horrible as some of the things that he said was, will still get a pop when he eventually – he will eventually come back somewhere.
Yeah.
He will show up somewhere.
Yeah.
He's going to get a pop.
Yeah.
You know? But I'm putting the Revival over because I think that that's what the right thing for the business is, that the older guys putting the younger guys over. I think that's what the Brain Busters, I think they do the right thing. And I think they'd see the Revival as carrying on a legacy that they helped to establish along with teams like the Midnight Express. And I think the Brain Busters do the right thing and they take the pin so the Revival can –
and I think the Revival get the pin, and there's this shocked look on their face. And for me, the way I spin that is now as we get into January of next year, that's a story for the second incarnation of this tournament.
Right.
Is, man, because when we started this tournament, the Revival weren't on the main roster.
No.
And now Wilder's hurt, and you know, coming back, and so it's. I mean, they're by the time we get ready for this tournament, they'll have been on Raw. So I'm excited for what that means for the future. But you know, good booking there, sir. Next, we've got Ricky Steamboat and Mark Youngblood versus the Hardy Boys in a ladder match.
Which we never really saw from the Steamboat crowd. You know what I mean? He kind of missed out on that era of wrestling to do that kind of stuff. I'm interested to know how he would have done with that kind of thing. Was that something he could have been able to adapt to? I think he could have. Ricky Steamboat was also injury prone, though.
Mm-hmm.
And how would his body hold up in those types of matches? He was as great as he was. He was also a very safe worker for the most part.
Correct. He didn't cut Ricky Steamboat. The difference between a high flyer then and a high flyer now. Back then, a high flyer, it was because they jumped high off the top rope.
Right.
Some of those.
Like I've heard that. Somebody else said that one time.
And a high flyer now, it's about flips.
Right.
It's about
that. Back then, if you did a nice cross body block and a really good drop kick, and you maybe did a splash off the top rope or something, you were a high flyer.
Right. But obviously you said that, and obviously you were correct. But what I'm saying is Steamboat coming off the like he got such height on his, not as much as Bryce Anthony did.
Which was one of
that was awesome.
I popped,
yes,
like a mark,
yes,
when Bryce Anthony did that cross body block off the top rope.
That was a flying body press.
Fly, that's what I meant. Yeah, sorry. Whatever. Yeah, yeah. I mean, dude.
I was totally – I saw him going up there, and you and I are like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And it was one of the few times – and this is what made it great. It was one of the few times on commentary you and I both lost our minds, forgot where we were, and lost all sense of professionalism.
In a good way.
In a great way.
In a great way.
That's it was great.
Man. That was so good. If you have got to watch this match to see Bryce Anthony.
Yeah, it's going to be – you're going to see when everything's edited, the whole first part of the card, which is probably 30 to 40 minutes, but it's three matches. And the reason I'm making one episode is they all tie in together. Mm-hmm. And so it'll make really good sense. And it's great, man.
Oh, it's so good, man. But it's so good.
Some would poo-poo it.
Well, they might.
Yeah. So who you got winning this ladder match?
The Hardys, man. That's their match.
That's their match.
That's their match. That's the Hardys match. And I mean, I think they're going to be the one that takes all the spectacular dives and all the spectacular falls. And then I got to...
And the thing with the ladder match is you're not taking a pinfall, not taking a submission. And so it's really a match where if you're on the losing end, you don't really.
Sometimes for me, when I'm thinking about how I'm going to book this one match, I'm also thinking about the series of matches after.
Yeah.
Where Steamboat and Youngblood can say, okay, you beat us in your match. Now meet us in a wrestling match where
yeah.
we, you know what I mean, a 60-minute time limit, and we're yeah. gonna, you know, we're gonna blow you up, we're
yeah.
gonna run you around, and we're gonna put you in holds, and we're gonna arm drag you, and we're gonna hit you up. And can you? We came to your match, and okay, you won. Now can you have mm-hmm. a real wrestling match with us?
Yeah,
and then you're off and running with a feud. Over,
yeah,
you know what I mean. That's my thought with that. That's why I put the Hardys over because I want the series of matches that comes later.
Right. Right. Before we get into our final two matches of the tournament, we have a singles match. See, I think it's the only singles match we've had in this whole tournament, all the cards.
Uh-huh.
And it's a match that I know you have booked two tournaments. You've booked a singles tournament and a tag team tournament to get to this. Stan the Lariat Hansen versus Bruiser Brody.
Mm-hmm. It will be exactly what it should.
7 minutes. Brody takes the pin. Hansen.
Big Lariat. 30 seconds. No. It's two guys that go in that know each other well, that can work well together. It's
right.
a match we know. It's a real dream match. It's not
yes.
AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens that they're just calling it a dream match,
right.
Which is – they're not – those aren't dream matches.
Right.
Like, Owens and Styles is not a dream match because, first of all, it's happened before and
right.
it's going to happen again.
Yep.
It's not a dream match. A dream match is a match we were deprived of seeing. Hogan,
yes.
Hogan and Austin would have been a dream match.
Back you know. in the early 80s, the magazine Wrestling Superstars would do these dream matches.
Mm-hmm.
And all those matches ended up happening. Flair and Savage,
right,
Ricky Morton,
years,
Robert Gibson,
yeah.
Road yeah. Warriors and Demolition.
But at the time, they were dream matches.
Correct.
They were dream
no,
matches
that's right.
at the time. But today, to take two guys who are going to have a match together on a pay-per-view and call it a dream match. Even Goldberg and Lesnar had already happened. How was that a dream match?
Right.
It had already happened.
Yeah.
And it sucked. What happened before? Like,
right.
why is that a dream?
Their
match?
4 minute match this year was so much better than their 15
yeah.
minute match.
Yeah, it was.
15 years.
Every
ago.
Match they had together was better than what they did at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So anyway, this match goes like it should, man. It's a good brawl where neither guy takes a bump. Brody finally takes a knee, and it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Hansen takes a knee, and it's a big deal. Somebody finally takes a bump
yeah.
10 minutes into the match, and it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Hansen finally hits a lariat on Brody. Brody finally hits a boot and a big knee drop on Hansen. But both guys back up, both guys brawling, both guys bleeding, and then they brawl out of the ring and they go back into the crowd, and I set the cage match up for the next time to keep them locked in.
Do when you're thinking about this match, are there even any pin attempts?
I doubt it. Not knowing those two guys.
Right.
Because I'm not telling.
No, correct.
Hanson
no.
and Brody what to do.
No, right. No, let's right. Be honest. Right, right.
I'm telling them to go out there. They know who they are.
Right.
Go do your thing, and they'll know how to do that.
Yeah.
Because they're professionals who've made money.
Right.
So when you say, hey, go do your thing, you don't need me.
Yeah.
They're going to know what to do.
And it takes an amazing amount of trust on a booker's part to say, go do. And it's a lot. That's a trust that a lot of people don't have.
You ask me, you've asked me before, if we had our own deal, you and me, how I would book that, that's what I would do in just about every match.
Right.
I don't even. Hey, man, you know who you are.
Right.
Go do your thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Sink or swim, it's on you.
Correct. And I think you know? Would, like, you wouldn't put yourself into a matchup where you couldn't say, go do your thing.
Mm-hmm. I want people to do their own thing, man.
Yeah.
Go do it. I love it when people say, hey, I want to do this, because it's on you.
Yes.
If it's good, it's good. If it's not, it's not. And it's on you. It's not on me. Go do your thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm all about.
Yeah.
I want everybody on my card to care.
Yeah. That's why I love Oscar.
Absolutely. That's why I love Anthony Janazzo.
Yeah.
He came to me.
Yes, sir.
Said, hey, I got some ideas. Let's hear. And we did it.
Boom.
I'm all for that. Other guys, and I'm not, some other guys came, hey, we want to do this.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
You know? It's you.
Yeah.
Do it, man. You don't need my permission to do anything.
Right.
You know what our rules are.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah, we give some parameters.
Hey, don't go out there and bleed. Because you can in South Carolina. If you could, I wouldn't care if you bled.
That's right.
Go out. Don't crotch chop. Don't cuss.
Yeah.
Don't flip nobody off. That's my rules. And I don't care if you do that.
Right.
That's just not the kind of promotion that we run.
Right.
Or we don't run, but we're part of it.
Yeah.
So other than that, man, do your thing. I want everybody to have the creative freedom to do what they want to do.
Yeah.
And I'd be the same with Hanson and Brody, obviously.
Now we're to our final two matches. We've got a third-place match. Don't think this is a match that ever happened. It's the Dudley Boys versus the Legion of Doom, the Road Warriors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, LOD's got to win.
Yes, sir.
There's no – Devon's taking that destruction, whatever.
Doomsday
the
device.
Doomsday, yeah, he's taking that, and that's that. Somebody's going through a table. Hawk, you know, is going through a table and no selling it.
Oh, can you just – ah, that's – I would pop for that.
Yes, you know.
Through a table. Dude, I see Hawk taking – I see Animal in this match. Hawk goes through a table, jumps right back up.
Mm-hmm.
I see Animal taking the 3D and kicking out at one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the Dudley Boys love and you know, I've been on my phone because I'm trying to look back over our history, because as we get to this final match, we have told a story.
Yes, sir.
The finals of the Death Dealers Invitational Tag Team Tournament is the Rock and Roll Express versus the Steiners. And the story we've been telling throughout this tournament is who the Rock and Roll Express have had to beat to get here. And, of course, I'm having issues with my phone now.
It was, what, Skyscrapers?
In the first round, it was Miracle Violence, Connection. That wasn't the first round. They have gone through every big team that you can think of.
Yeah, they had the worst path possible to get to the finals. And then they get to the finals, and they got to take on one of the most physical tag teams ever in the Steiner Brothers.
Miracle Violence Connection, Demolition, Skyscrapers, the Road Warriors. They beat in the semifinals.
Right.
And now they're against the Steiners.
And I think they've given out.
Yes.
I mean, it's great. Every great – like this year was South Carolina in the NCAA tournament. They had for years won that NIT tournament.
Yeah.
And they would always – and then it was, hey, now they're going to be in the NCAA. And they went really far in the tournament, and then they lost.
Do you think making it to the Final Four is making it far in the tournament?
I'm not – I wasn't I'm talking about Cinderella stories.
They are.
I didn't go. You know, in my opinion, if a team makes it to the Final Four in the NCAA tournament, they've done really well.
You just said it.
I didn't say that. I stated it as a fact. This year, South Carolina, who had always done well in the NIT, did really well in the NCAA tournament, and everybody was getting behind. Oh, wow, this is awesome. And that's what the Rock and Roll Express have done. But just like every great Cinderella story, it has to come to an end.
Yeah.
And it comes to an end when they get in there with one of the most physical dominant tag teams in history, the Steiner Brothers.
When you talk about greatest tag teams, the conversation must include the Steiner Brothers.
Right. And it sets me up for next year with the rules that we have established.
Yes.
That the Steiners and the Rock and Roll Express will face each other in the first round, which begs the question, when the Rock and Roll Express have gone through the Miracle Violence Connection, the Road Warriors, Demolition, and the Skyscrapers, before they face the Steiner Brothers, they still almost won.
Yeah.
What happens when the Steiner Brothers has to face a fresh Rock and Roll Express?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Can they beat them?
And we mentioned that in the night before in Atlanta, after beating the Road Warriors, you know, leave them battered and bruised.
Yeah.
I mean, they come to the ring against the Steiners, ribs taped, arm taped, head taped, everything's taped.
Spirit of 76, man.
Yes.
They're bleeding before they get in the ring. Yes. Ricky Morton's already bleeding.
Yes.
And there you go.
This is, you know, this is the great thing about the Rock and Roll Express is they have their thing, and it works no matter who you put the Rock and Roll Express do not have to change no matter what decade or who you put them in
Ricky
there with.
Ricky Morton still got that mullet.
Yes.
And he's okay with who he is.
Yes.
And he doesn't try to do anything the Rock and Roll Express ain't known for doing at this point.
Yes. Yes.
He said his only instruction. I've told this before when somebody would say, so what are we going to do tonight? And he would say, what do you mean? Here's what we're going to do tonight.
Yeah.
You're going to kick my ass for about 8 minutes, and then I'm going to tag in Robert Gibson, and then we're going to hit a double drop kick, and that's going to be it. Yeah. We don't have to talk about what we're going to do. His only instruction to guys are, just don't hurt me.
Yes. Right.
You know, they have a formula that works for them.
I worked a show.
And it always works.
I worked a show with where the main event was Ricky Morton and George South.
Mm-hmm.
And George South came to the back long enough to grab, because George South was selling gimmicks.
Of course.
And Ricky Morton was,
George, man. He's such a nice guy.
And Ricky Morton was selling gimmicks. And I don't think other than they didn't talk about their match.
Oh, I guarantee you they did.
They knew exactly what they were going to do. And
I'm sure the finish was given, and it may not. They may have even already knew the finish.
I mean,
they knew the right.
They knew who was. Yeah.
George South knew what those people paid to see.
Right. 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 So there you have it, folks. The winners of the Death Dealers Invitational Tag Team Fantasy Tournament. the Steiner brothers. Now let's go. Let me go through and see who the Steiners. Let me see. Oh dear heavens of mercy! I'm telling you, the way they've got, they just changed some stuff on the.
I don't do the updates till they make me.
Steiner brothers. Let's see here. Steiner brothers. What the crud? They beat the Addiction, which I'm sure you had something to do with.
I'm sure you had something to do with the Addiction even being allowed in my tournament.
Listen, I'll be the first to admit there was probably five or six teams that didn't belong in this tournament.
You had to have them in there, though.
I don't know about that.
I can guarantee you I didn't put them in there.
Steiners beat the British Bulldogs. Then I think the Steiners beat the Hollywood Blondes. Steiners beat the Bulldogs. They beat the Hollywood Blondes. And then they had to beat the Midnight Express, maybe. Who's calling me from Hawthorne, New Jersey?
I think that's right.
So they didn't have an easy path to the finals.
Wait. They didn't have the path to Rock and Roll Express.
No. Nobody had. And what was great about this tournament, what's great about doing these tournaments is there's several ways to do fantasy booking. You can fantasy book, and you know, you just pick who you want to win, and you don't. It's just on paper.
You pick your favorite. That's what a lot of people do. Who would win in this match versus this match? And they just pick. Well, I like this guy, so he'd win.
Yeah. When we used to fantasy book senior year of high school in the student government office on paper, we weren't booking a tournament like this. It was just, you know, Mark telling us, well, the Undertaker wins. Undertaker ain't going to beat Arn Anderson. I tell you that one much. I remember that was the biggest argument we ever had. We got to the, you know, the finals was like Flair, Arn, and Ole, and the Undertaker of the whole, you know. Uh-huh. Because,
that's amazing that you remember that stuff, man. I don't have that kind of recall.
It's amazing.
And I'm sure at the time you guys were going, what's that? The Undertaker's a flash in the pan. Right.
They gonna- the Undertaker, that's not even believable, Mark.
who's ever going to think this guy's one of the greatest of all time?
He'll be lucky to win one WrestleMania match.
Even then, even as a small child, I understood wrestling.
Now, what do you think of, first of all, you were never a small child. Number two, would love your thoughts on the reality show on the network where they're going to pick the new Undertaker.
Isn't that the greatest?
That was awesome, man. I mean,
like,
Undertaker is, like, people get fired up about the Undertaker.
They do.
Yeah.
And that's why I continue to post those fake stories about it.
Yeah.
And it helps weed out people.
Did you see the PWX video I did? Mm-hmm. Where Zane Riley came out and Teddy Long said, you're going to wrestle Undertaker. And they play the Undertaker's Titantron in White Mike. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Comes out. I still don't know how I feel about that. Anyway.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Hey, if you're making money.
Right.
Do what you got to do, bro.
Do what you got to do.
If you can figure out how to make money in wrestling today,
you're
not gonna get a knock from me, man.
Right.
Not everything's my cup of tea.
Right.
But hey, you got guys that want to work you. You got guys that are, I mean, other guys that like Cody Rhodes saying they want to work with you and stuff like that.
That's right. I mean, that's right.
I'm happy for anybody that's figured out the formula to make money. And wrestling's different today. Wrestling fans are different. They want to see different stuff.
Yeah.
You can either accept it and try to make some money, or you can go against it and be classified as somebody that time has passed by.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're going to talk about in our next episode of the Double Dropkick Show. We want to talk about fans and the fickleness of fans, and don't know how long that conversation will be. It may just be Mark saying, fans are fickle. You know, that kind of deal. So, doubledropkick.com is where you can go and find all of our episodes. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher Radio. We're on Google Play. Hey, before we recorded this episode, we recorded a live video and audio in our patrons only group, patreon.com/doubledropkick. That we have a private Facebook group. $1 a month is all it takes to get in that group. You can give more than that. Matter of fact, if you give $10 a month, if you sign up $10 a month, you're going to get an autographed picture from a wrestling superstar, somebody you've heard of, may even be a WWE Hall of Famer. So you go and check that out again, patreon.com/doubledropkick. And as soon as you sign up to be a patron, you're going to be able to go back and see all of Mark's Carries Corners. You're going to be able to see all of our Patreon content. We're going to add you to that Facebook group. Again, $1 a month. That's, you know, some people say, you know, if you give up a cup of coffee a month, you can do this. $1 a month. Hold your breath for 30 seconds, and you've paid for it. That's how I look at it.
Hold your breath for 30 seconds.
Yeah, and you'll look
paid for it. Yeah. How does that?
I figure I cost myself about $1 a minute. I don't know what I'm saying right now.
So, you cost yourself $1 a minute. Hold your breath for 30 seconds, and you've covered the dollar. They have to hold their breath. They would cover half of that if they held their breath for 30 seconds. That's just a stupid analogy, and you know.
You know, Mark, everything was, you know, everything was going along fine. The story I was telling, what I was telling, was going along fine. Then he had to bring in math and logic. We're doing a podcast about wrestling, and you want to talk about math and logic, which are, let's be honest, without math, money, and logic, wrestling is nothing.
This is true.
Wrestling is, you know, fantasy football or something. So, hey, we're also on Twitter. I'm at Heath Mulliken.
I'm at the DDK Show.
And if you ever want to hear what we're really thinking about wrestling, join that patrons group. So, thanks for listening today, as always, for the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.